Mildred tapped on Jack's door with the toe of her boot.
Who there?
It's Mildred. I brought you some food.
I figured you'd be hungry.
She figured right.
Jack was sitting up on his cot, one arm hanging limply from the shoulder, the other rubbing a hand in circular motions over his empty, growling stomach. She put the food on the rough wooden stand next to the bed, and then sat on the empty bed next to him.
How's your shoulder? Does it hurt?
No, you fixed good.
Mildred lifted the dressing and saw that although there were still a few wet spots to the wound, it was generally healing nicely. She touched the bruised flesh with the point of her finger, and Jack grimaced.
You know, for someone who doesn't use many words, you're not a very good liar.
Jack smiled.
I'll clean the dressing later. Right now you should eat. Build up your strength.
Food good?
Oh, yeah.
She placed a plate on his lap and gave him a fork.
Best we've had in months.
The two-wheeled wag had performed flawlessly, taking its rider across the rad-choked land between the two bills in less than 6 hours. He had stopped twice along the way, once to refill his tank with alcohol, the other to refill himself with food and water. Now he was approaching Indyville, the engine still running smoothly as the dusty miles fell beneath his wheels. The Ville's lookouts would have spotted him by now, and the entire Ville's sec force would be on alert. That was good, because by the time he arrived there, the Baroness would be aware of his approach and curious to know what he wanted. Now, as he neared the Ville's perimeter, the road got rougher. The surface of the road was spotted with holes and was covered with rocks and chunks of asphalt. He slowed the wag by half. The gates to the Ville grew larger in his sights. Sec men stood on either side of the rolling door, made of rusty rebar and sheet metal. One of the sec men signaled to him to slow down by waving both his arms over his head. He waved back with just his right hand. The entrance to the Ville was less than a quarter of a mile away, and he slowed the wag further. Closer in, there were dead things on the road, the carcasses and bones of long-dead animals, fallen trees, strategically positioned rocks, and the odd corpse of a mutie who made the mistake of trying to get into the Ville. It was a strange way to protect the outer edges of the Ville, but it was doing a good job of it. The driver was forced to slow to a crawl, just to find a way through the maze of death and ruin. But at last he was at the gates of the Ville. He brought the wag to a stop, but left the engine running, just in case it might not start again.
Who are you, and what do you want?
He was armed with little more than a pointed stick, but in the towers on the other side of the gate were several batteries of large caliber automatic blasters, some of which were aimed directly at his head.
I'm Spike, Sec Lieutenant from Demandville. I bring greetings from Baron Demand.
Yeah, so?
I need to speak with Baroness Lashini.
About what?
Sorry, but I must speak only with the Baroness.
Well, she's not seeing anyone tonight.
Spike nodded. He'd been told that he might be refused at the gate, and that's why he'd been given a gift to present to the Baroness.
I brought a quarter pound of bang to give her, compliments of Baron Demand.
He took the small sack from his shoulder bag.
Let me see it.
He quickly snatched it away before the sec man could grab it.
Sorry, it's for the Baroness only.
The sec man licked his lips, then sighed. He turned and raised his eyes to the top of the gate.
He's got some bang for the Baroness. Let him in.
After a few moments of silence, the large steel door started rolling to the left, giving Spike just enough room to enter the Ville. Katz looked at the body of Eleander lying on a cot in a corner of the lab. She seemed dead and lifeless, as if she wouldn't become conscious for another few hours yet. Robards was rearranging her clothing, hiding the slight welts in order to make her presentable enough to bring to the Baron.
I can wake her up, but there will be a dangerous mix in her system. If she takes anything else in the next 12 hours, it could chill her.
I'll watch over her.
And of course, there will probably be some slurring of her words. That is, of course, if she can speak coherently at all.
I'll tell them she's been drinking.
That's probably best. She'll seem drunk. Might even feel like it, too.
Rat-blasted Outlander scum. One of them took a liking to this bitch, asked the Baron if she could join them.
And the Baron agreed.
The Outlanders wanted to leave, and I instructed the Baron to keep them here for a couple of days, till my rider comes back from Indyville. So when the old-timer asked to see her, the Baron had no choice but to agree.
You could always say she's turned in for the night.
I tried something like that, but this Outlander was persistent. Wouldn't take no for an answer. Probably come here to see her if she doesn't join them over there.
Katz produced a large plunge-type syringe from his bag.
All right, this will bring her around. But she's your problem after that.
Robards put a hand on his blaster.
Fine, just do it.
Katz gave Eleander the jab. At first, nothing happened. And then her eyelids fluttered open.
What?
She put a hand on her forehead.
I have a splitting headache.
Thank you, Katz.
Don't thank me. You're on your own. I want nothing more to do with this.
You're already involved.
You mention my name and the Baron will get the full story about the others, too.
Katz closed his bag and left the room before Robards had a chance to respond. At the sound of Katz's departure, Eleander's eyes opened wider. When she realized Robards was standing over her, she instinctively tried to move away from him, crawling backward like a spider.
Relax. I'm not going to hurt you this time.
She looked skeptical.
The Baron wants to see you. Apparently one of those bastard outlanders has taken a shine to you.
A sleepy smile broke over Eleander's face. She had an idea which bastard outlander that might have been.
So, tidy up. I don't want to keep the Baron or the outlanders waiting.